Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Janie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. I hope you've had a good week. We've got a great guest lined up on the podcast today. I interviewed Sharon Walters, a London artist, a while ago, and it's been taking me a while to... I've got a few interviews stacked up, but finally, we're going to get to talk to Sharon on the podcast. We're talking all about creativity. She calls herself the London artist, and she does some amazing work. We had a really lovely chat, I hope you'll enjoy it, about being creative. Sharon has also had her own journey with the booze, so I really hope you're going to enjoy this interview. I've been looking forward to sharing this one with you. I hope the week has been good for you. It feels like so much has changed in the world since the last time I recorded a podcast, and whatever stage you're at, wherever you are in the world with the whole coronavirus, and I'm sure it won't have escaped your notice. I did actually see a post on Facebook from someone who said they'd kind of switched off from all digital media for a few days, given themselves a bit of a digital detox, and that they never read the newspapers or watch the news. And so they had, they'd literally kind of then switched on Wednesday or whatever. And it's like, what is actually going on? Seriously. So that must have been a hell of a shock. So anyways, in the light of that, I thought I'd share with you just a little clip from an interview that I did with Dr. Gemma Newman. I also do shows on UK Health Radio, and obviously I have my own site, imperfectlynatural.com, and I wrote a blog post on there about boosting immunity, and I thought it'd be really good to get the lowdown on coronavirus and the various precautions that we need to take, but also the view of a doctor on whether immunity really is important, building our own immunity. Now, I want to stress that I am very conscious that, of course, there are people with underlying health conditions and the elderly, and I totally understand that it's very different if you're in that situation. But I just thought it'd be good to hear from a doctor her view. So what this is the Alcohol Free Life podcast, and I will get to my main guest, but it just felt weird to even record a podcast this week without mentioning something that is just literally on everyone's lips the whole time. And so I thought it'd be good to just give you just a little clip from this interview with Dr. Gemma Newman. She calls herself the Plant Power Doctor.
Yeah, and of course, I suppose the theory is that if you then are unlucky enough to get something, then with a strong immunity, you'll fight it off quicker.
Exactly. Mm. And again, it's so important to emphasise, the mind and the immune system are in a delicate balance. And, stress can be chronic or sudden, but it can make us ill. Stress can make us ill.
Mm. I think it's so important to point to focus on that, actually. And I don't think many people are doing that. I mean, I've got my kids sort of coming back from school in panic mode, because that's all that seems to be happening at the moment, is people are really being... It's all very scaremongering, really. And while I totally understand that we must be vigilant and we must also understand that there are people with underlying health conditions, I think just to kind of panic everyone is a mistake, because, as you say, our stress response is not going to be helpful.
There was a really good study. I was just telling you, actually, that's reminded me of an interesting study that I read. Mm. And it was around the incidence of illness in people based on their mood. It was a study done by Carnegie Mellon University. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they paid them the equivalent of about £500 each, and for that money they basically squirted cold viruses and flu viruses in a different study up their nostrils. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to see who got sick and who didn't. Mm. And they did these questionnaires about state of mind and mood and stress, and basically the ones because like you said earlier, doctors are exposed to these things a lot. We don't always get ill. So there is a difference in innate immunity between people. Yeah. And those who had a more positive outlook and a less stressed state, a good sense of humour, or didn't class themselves as anxious or stressed, I think it was about 1 in 5 of them became unwell. And those that were stressed out or classed themselves as angry, anxious or depressed, it was more like sort of 3 in 5.
Really?
So there was actually like a really big difference between the incidence of infection in these people in the study. So yeah, that would be probably my big take home for everybody is just, yes, we need to be mindful. Yes, we need to look after ourselves, wash our hands, make sure that we follow all the advice from Public Health England, but also just to remain calm and remain hopeful.
Yeah, I feel a few bars of don't worry, be happy coming on at the moment.
Oh yeah, me too.
So you can listen to the interview with Dr. Gemma Newman in full at imperfectlynatural.com, at my website, or also it'll be on UK Health Radio. So there's a couple of opportunities if you want to listen to that interview in full. She has some really good, very specific suggestions. And later on in the interview, we do chat a bit more about the impact of alcohol, actually, as well, on our immunity. So it does all kind of fit in. Everything fits in, doesn't it? I find myself more and more, the more I do with this podcast and with the Sober Club, the more I realise that everything impacts on everything else. And it's only once you make that decision to ditch the booze, it's as if that underpins it all. And once that is sorted, or at least you're on the way to sorting that, you can start to look at all the other bits with fresh eyes, really. And I just think that's when so many people start to, it's like the scales come off and they go, oh wow, so maybe I can also get rid of my, you know, cravings for sugar. Maybe I can think about what I'm going to do with my life. Maybe I can do some exercise or take up knitting or art or dance or whatever I used to love when I was a child. So I think this is what I love about this work, is that what I'm focusing on is living your best life, living your best life without alcohol. I don't know if you like that phrase or you hate it. A lot of people use it now, but it does sum up what we really mean. On that note, actually, I was at the Live Well Now show last weekend. It was such a lovely event, actually. It was just a regular health and wellbeing event, and there were a few stands selling alcohol. But there was a big presence for mindful drinking as well. Club Soda were there, of course. There were some great drinks brands there, like Sea Arch and Sensa Spirits were there. There was a few others. Binary Drinks were there, and Camille, who does the amazing mocktail workshops. I'm going to be interviewing Camille, by the way, on the podcast. So, you know, there was a real presence for alcohol-free drinks and for mindful drinking. And then I was part of a panel, which was hosted by Laura from Club Soda, and I was with Stephanie Chivers, who's an addiction expert, Millie from Sober Girls Society, and Scott, who now has rebranded as Proud and Sober. We had a really good chat. It was really interesting because, you know, we said no questions are off limits. And of course, the audience was a mixed group of people. And many of their questions were around, just as we would expect, the sort of social situation. What do you say to your friends if you're about to meet up with them and maybe you haven't seen them for a while and they just know you as a big drinker? And what do you take if you're going to someone's house for a party, or, you know, those kinds of questions? It was great to be able to answer them. And I hope we answered them in such a way that people felt inspired to go off and at least give it a try. By the way, thank you for all my birthday wishes in the week. I had a really great birthday, just, you know, nothing particularly spectacular or special, but I did take a few hours off, which is unusual for me, and kind of went for a walk and had a nice lunch. But the thing that kind of occurred to me this year, probably for the first time ever, was because I've ditched the booze. Well, number one, it wasn't all about when I'm going to get to drink loads of wine, which is what other birthdays have been about in the past. It's just been about thinking, oh, you know, which maybe I should go for a drink at lunchtime, and then which friends shall we go out with in the evening so that we can have even more wine. And then, of course, we need to toast with birthday cake and have even, oh God, I mean, exhausting, literally exhausting when I think back now. So number one, I was free from all of that, which is amazing. But the other thing that I noticed this birthday for the first time, probably since I was a kid, is that I felt able, kind of strong enough in who I was, and I had enough self-esteem to tell my family what I would like as a gift. I mean, no big deal or anything. We're not talking yachts. I actually asked for a bangle so that I could put a couple of charms on it that represent each year of my sobriety. And I thought, well, actually, that's a relatively simple gift. You know, I've got four kids and everyone clubs together. And actually, it's what I want. And when I think back other years, what I've actually done, and you might be the same, is rather than actually be open and honest and authentic and say, well, thank you, you know, if you're thinking of buying me a gift, that's lovely, and this is what I'd like. Most of us just kind of expect that our loved ones can read our minds. And then when they don't, and they buy us the wrong gift, in inverted commas, or something that we weren't hoping for, we get really arsy and upset and fed up. So I felt much more grown up for doing that. And, you know, everybody wins. They're happy because they've got me what I want, and I'm happy because I've got the gift. So I don't know what lesson is in there other than, you know, I think it's just another gift of sobriety, actually, is that you do become better at communicating what it is you want without being difficult about it. So it's a really small thing, but there you go. I've already mentioned creativity, that whole question of when you ditch the booze, are you still creative? Are you more creative? Which way does it work? So it's a good lead in to my guest, Sharon Walters, the London artist.
Sharon, I know you've got all sorts of interesting stories to tell us about the work that you do. You know, I only know a little bit about it, but it sounds really, really inspirational. But let's just start with your sort of journey, if you like, and how that might link to sobriety and how you kind of got to where you are now, and then we'll dig into some of your creative stuff.
Oh, great. Well, firstly, I wanted to thank you for inviting me on. Thank you so much, Janie.
No worries.
I have been sober for a year. I just celebrated my first year at the end of December. And prior to that, I was probably mindfully drinking for about a year beforehand as well. The reasons why I stopped, quite complicated. I thought about stopping for a while. The decision was kind of taken away from me in some ways, because I, after having quite a long period of drinking and not drinking, and then when I would drink, I would just get these awful headaches, so really super intense headaches, even after a couple of sips of alcohol.
Even that quickly? Really, right.
Mm. Yeah, so really, really painful. A few people told me I wasn't trying hard enough, and had I tried different drinks? Yeah, which was a very interesting.
The lengths we go to, eh?
Yeah. And eventually I decided enough was enough, and I had to stop. And it wasn't an easy decision, but it's one that I'm really glad that I've made. And it's
that's interesting,
changed.
Though, isn't it? Because I suppose that was, you were sort of almost made to stop, as you say, rather than, you know, lots of us who have kind of, we know we've got to do it. But yeah, in your case, literally your body was telling you, you know.
Yeah, stop. my body was telling me to stop. And I think in my heart, I knew I had to stop.
So how did you go about it? What were the early weeks and months like for you?
Oh, they were really difficult. They were just really difficult. I found it really difficult in social situations, which is something that I don't find difficult now. I go out a lot. And I really love going out. But initially it was really difficult to socialize with the friends that I was used to socializing with. I felt really distant, and I felt as though I wasn't connecting with people in the same way that I would. My confidence levels weren't as high because I didn't have the drink in my hand to be able to, you know, break down any issues I might have.
And what about the headaches? Did they go?
The headaches stopped. Yeah, and they have stopped, and I don't have headaches at all anymore. So it was clearly something to do with alcohol. I haven't really gone and, you know, like spoken to anyone about the reasons why that might happen, because I kind of feel like maybe it was just supposed to happen, and it's not healthy anyway.
Yeah,
it's just meant to be. And I remember being really skeptical of anyone who didn't drink for a really long time.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of thought, you know, why wouldn't you drink? It was so much a part of my life.
So ingrained, yeah.
Yeah,
so
and it was just, culture. It really is, and so normalised. And I grew up seeing my parents drink, and when I became a teenager, I was drinking, and everyone around me drank. So, you know, the odd person I would come across that didn't drink, I wanted to know why. And yeah, kind of similar response to the response I got from people when I told them that I was not drinking
so
anymore.
Socially, you know, you found it quite hard at first. What about physically then, and when you were on your own? So as we've already said, the headaches had gone, so that's great.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What else was going on for you? You know, did you feel, I mean, did your anxiety, if you had any, did that
I lessen? Did.
Right.
And yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what kind of other benefits kicked in for you, and how long did it take before they kicked in?
Okay, so I had suffered with anxiety, depression for a really long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you on medication for that?
No medication. I was told that I should take medication a few years back, and I didn't. And I didn't, but not drinking has just made everything feel much better. I don't have that awful anxiety anymore. I had definitely, you know, I have to work on my anxiety, but I definitely don't have depression anymore. It's just helped me to see things far more clearly. There's a certain clarity and confidence that I now have, and I'm just more willing to try new things and go for it. And it's all coincided with my art series, which has been going for the last 2 years, and I can definitely see a correlation between not drinking and how I feel now. I feel like a completely different person now to who I was beforehand.
Amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
Tell us about your work then as an artist. What does that mean? Tell us what you do.
Okay, so I work for a museum 3 days a week, and I coordinate community engagement programs.
And what does that mean? Interested in art or doing art or a combination of?
So it's more or less like socially, I guess it's what people might call socially engaged practice, which means I'm working with underrepresented groups in our museum audiences. They may consist of people like young people in their teens, people with disabilities, so a whole range of people from ethnic minority groups who don't tend to come to our museum, which is a local history museum based in West London. So I work with different artists and different organisations so that they can work with those groups and encourage them to use the space. But as an artist as well, so that's one part of my artistic practice. The other side is creating collages. So I create handmade collages that I started those because I had an ankle injury. And I was running at the time. and I think that's why I really cut down the alcohol, was because of running. And I realized that I couldn't actually run and drink and have a hangover.
Right.
So as I gradually cut down, my tolerance levels really reduced and the headaches began.
Yeah.
But what that's meant is that I've, everything changed from then. It's just been an amazing
So I'm guessing you've been working in this field for quite a while, have you? How many years have you been working as an artist?
Oh, so I've been working for an artist. I think I delivered my first art workshop. I think I did it for free back then. I was trying things out. And it was about 20 years ago.
All right. Okay. So you've been doing the art for years. So
really, and I've done lots of different things in between that as well.
So what I'm really interested in then is did you ever at the beginning, because I have this conversation with so many creative people, and they so often say that they're fearful of ditching the booze because they're worried that it will affect their creativity. Was that ever anything you were worried about?
No, because my creativity wasn't at huge levels. So although I started, you know, working as an artist and working in lots of different fields over 20 years ago, I wasn't really creating on a really big scale until I ditched the booze.
Right.
So it's really interesting for me. Yeah.
Okay, great. Interesting.
Yeah, massively. It's the time I would have spent having a drink and maybe sitting down and having that glass of wine and some crisps. Oh, and don't forget the dips as well, because there's a big thing. I don't do that anymore. I sit with my cutting mat and I cut out images, and I find it slows everything down and really calms me down and allows me to take some space and breathe. Mm. And you can't really be distracted when you've got a scalpel in your hand, a surgical scalpel.
Best not, right.
Best not to. And also when you've got an A4 cutting mat on your lap.
Yeah.
So in the last 2 years, I've created over 200 collages.
Wow.
Last year I had around 6 exhibitions.
That's amazing.
I've done a number of talks and worked with lots of different people, and I
love this. So if I'm hearing you right, you know, you're saying that because of ditching the booze, literally all of this has taken off. I love these kind of stories. It's so unbelievably inspirational, because at the beginning, so many people think, oh God, my life will be over. You know, I'm not going to have any fun. I'm not going to do anything. I've spoken to sort of songwriters and people who say, oh, I won't be able to write anything. And the opposite is true. As you've everything about you is just, it's just flown, hasn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah, it really has. It's just completely changed. And that whole thing of not being able to socialize and not being able to have fun without booze is so wrong.
Yeah,
it's so wrong, and I can't believe I was that person.
So looking back at that time then, what do you think, what maybe could you have done differently? What would your advice be now to people who are just starting out and finding that, feeling fearful of that, so those social situations?
Just go for it. Just try and network with people. Maybe find a kind of group of sober friends online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or find people, even if they do drink, who are supportive of you not drinking.
Exactly.
Because, you know, not all people who drink are bad friends, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just about ensuring that the people who are supportive, family and friends, are around you. And you and listen to podcasts and listen and follow people on Instagram or any other social media.
Yeah.
And just find your... find your tribe.
No, it's so true, and it's what I always recommend, is really immersing yourself in this motivation and inspiration. That's what keeps you flamed up, I suppose, really. It keeps you in the scene. Talk to me about creativity then, and how all of us can benefit from a little bit of art one way or another in our lives. I mean, I'm sure you've worked with people who are doing some kind of art therapy, or you know, is there anything that absolutely any of us can do, even if we don't maybe have a scalpel and a what can any of us do that might just kind of switch on that creative brain? Because you're quite right when you say that you get time. Often people get their time back, and sometimes it's a case of, oh my God, what am I going to do with my time?
I think it's about thinking back to what your dreams were as a child. And I, through sobriety, I'd started to think back to who I actually wanted to be and what I wanted to achieve. And I've always wanted to be an artist. And it's only at this point in my life, despite doing lots of different art related jobs, it's only now that I truly feel that I am that person that I wanted to become. And it doesn't mean that I've achieved all my goals, but it means that I'm on that journey to where, towards where I want to be. But I feel that collage is really accessible because for so many, I mean, I've worked with boys at Feltham Young Offenders, for example, and I've delivered workshops there. And they haven't always had art experience, but collage is something that's so accessible. You don't need many materials, just a few magazines.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a little bit like, I mean, I often tell people to create a vision board. So I suppose it's similar in a way, but
it's very similar.
You just, I suppose it's a good idea to kind of choose a loose theme, is it really? And then gather all your bits and bobs around you.
I think it's just good to, I started just looking for images when I started.
Just things that appeal to you.
Yeah, and I became really aware that there were very few women with natural Afro hair that looked like me in the magazines. And that became the starting point for the series. So I would look through the magazines, try and find an image. If I found one, I'd excitedly rip one out and then I'd start cutting. But I think you can just go with looking at maybe textures that appeal to you, colours, just layering them up. You don't need a scalpel. You can literally tear bits of paper. You might also want to just start writing. So I know a lot of people do journaling, but you might just start wanting to write down feelings, and that's a creative. I find that as a creative practice in itself.
If you want to make a collage, then would you do that onto a board or a sketch pad, or what are the basics that we'd need? Because I love the idea. I think it's fantastic.
So I don't work onto a board. It depends. If I'm making a large bespoke piece, and I made a piece recently that was sold at the Mall Galleries in December for Art for Youth London, and that was an A0 hand cut collage, so a really, really big scale piece, and the largest piece I'd ever created. And that was then put onto a thicker piece of paper. But generally I would say just using different bits of paper. You can put your work onto a piece, you know, a board or something that's more secure, but it's really up to you how you work. I think it's about not having rules. And that's what I love about creating the work. There aren't any rules. No one's telling me what to do or do, or I don't have to do it in a certain way. I can just go for it.
And I guess what's lovely about it is it is a sort of therapy of its own, really, because I suppose you get into a kind of a meditative state. You know, you can't be thinking about a load of other stuff while you're really focusing on this. Well, you definitely can't with the scalpel.
No, I really can't. It'd be really dangerous.
But I guess for all of us, you do have to sort of have that focus, which is great. You know, it's a meditation of its own, isn't it?
It is, and I use it as a meditation practice because, for example, yesterday I had a really super hectic day at the museum and I came home feeling quite tense and I couldn't calm down, you know, when things are just ticking away in your head. And I just got an image out that I'd worked on before, a photograph that I had printed, and I started cutting away. And as I started cutting away, as it always happens, my shoulders began to drop, my breathing was much deeper. And I was just able to get into the flow of creating the work. And that's the beauty in what I'm doing, is that it really, not only do people seem to like the work, which is great, but I also, it's a gift for me as well. And it's a gift for my mental health. And it's really helped me immeasurably.
So. And I guess, you know, that it's important to point out that people can do this just for the therapeutic benefits. Yeah. It doesn't have to look fabulous or beautiful or end up being exhibited or sold. It's whatever appeals to you. And as you say, that can be, it just calms out. It can just calm everything down. Because I think it's a fantastic thing to have some kind of outlet for your creativity, whatever that might be.
Yeah. I think it's really important to have that outlet and just give yourself the time. I remember for a long time, because I have two young children, so I have a 7 and an 11-year-old. I still call them young. But I have two kids. And for a long time, I thought because of having the children, I wouldn't be able to create, or I wouldn't be able to, you know, live my dreams and all of that kind of stuff. And everything's changed. Everything's changed. You know, earlier on, just before this recording, my son was saying to me, he's 11, he was saying, "I'm so proud of you, Mum. This is really cool. It's really cool." And
wow, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm also really interested that you said, you know, at the beginning you started by picking out images of women that looked like you.
Yeah.
You know? And what's lovely about that is that obviously subconsciously you were on that journey of the beginnings of self-love. And again, that so often, I've spoken about this on the podcast a lot, but it certainly in my case and many, many other people, you can't even begin to get on that path until you've ditched the booze. Because, you know, for me, the alcohol was literally lowering my vibration. Yeah. And it was that missing link. It was the reason that I couldn't really contemplate loving myself. There was something really big time missing there. And it's only once I ditched the booze that I could maybe even start to look at that. So I'm interested in your experience of that, you know, when you started to, I suppose, I don't know, just looking at who you were and taking real pride in who you were.
Yeah, I just kind of started thinking about who I actually am and what my identity is and the messages that maybe I've been told growing up, and not necessarily by family, but through media or through groups of people I've known, and I just really wanted to give myself permission, really, to take up space. Mm. And I feel like throughout my career, I've been giving other people permission to take up space. So, you know, groups that aren't represented, you know, come and take up space in our museum. And I just suddenly thought, well, what about me? And what do I think of myself? And do I really love myself? And I'm not convinced for a long time I really did. Mm. And yeah, I'm now at a point where I embrace who I am, and I'm more accepting, and I have a lot more respect for myself than I've ever had before.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I've gotten to this point. Mm. Because yeah, it feels like it's a long time coming.
Yeah, amazing. I love it. What a lovely story. It's where can people, can we see any of your work anywhere? Where can we see it?
So you can see my work at london_artist1.com, and that's my website. I have created over 200 pieces, so I only have a selection on there.
Yeah.
Most of my work is on Instagram, mm-hmm. and that's london_artist1. And I share most of my work there. And also I list exhibitions or anything I've got coming up on the website. And I'm always talking about it on Instagram too.
And do you do workshops and things like that as well, or only within the museum?
No, I do workshops as well. So last year I did a workshop with Love Sober, Mandy.
Oh yeah, with Mandy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that went really, really well. I have some workshops coming up in West London in May and April and May. Mm-hmm. And I'll be posting about those, and those will be on my website shortly.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I have those coming up, and then I'm talking to some people about exhibiting. Oh, I'm going to be at the Affordable Art Fair as well.
Oh, are you really? Oh, that's very cool. Great.
I'm very excited. It's the first time.
Very exciting.
So with Will's, yeah, thank you. Mm. So with Will's Art Warehouse, I'll be at the Affordable Art Fair selling prints.
Good stuff. Yeah. So what would be your top tip then, you know, just off the top of your head, for anyone who's, you know, just sort of got these kind of little bubbling thoughts, oh, maybe there's a bit of creativity in me, maybe I can produce something, where do they start?
I think just giving yourself just 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes a day, that's all you need to give yourself. Mm. Just give yourself, allow yourself that time to sit with something and try something new. And you don't necessarily need to show anyone what you've created. It can just be for you. But just starting with that. And the minute I started giving myself that time daily, it then grew. I mean, some evenings I was spending 6 hours. Because you just get into the flow of it. And you realise you do have the time, but you've been spending your time doing other things. Mm. So, just allowing yourself that space is really important.
Great. Thank you so much, Aaron. It's a lovely story. I love the fact that how you know, to see how you've blossomed since ditching the booze and all this amazing work you're creating. It's wonderful stuff. Thank you so much for being a guest. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Janie. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Couple of important dates to wing your way. Saturday the 11th of July, I'm doing a really cool workshop in the afternoon between 1 and 4 or 1 and 5. We're going to be looking at setting your intentions, manifesting what it is you want. It'll all be inspirational stuff. And then we're going to do a yoga nidra session, which, in case you're thinking, oh no, I don't do yoga, it's not really yoga, it's relaxation. It is yoga. It's called yoga, but the practicalities are that you relax. It's a really deep relaxation. It's amazing. So we're going to do that, relax and manifest, and that's, you're very welcome, whether you have ditched the booze, or maybe you're thinking about it, or you're sober curious, or maybe you've been sober for years. It really doesn't matter. This is about the leveling up, and so we'll do that. There's a beautiful studio at Hello Love, which is in Bloomsbury in London, and then we'll have a really yummy organic alcohol-free sort of mocktail kind of thing afterwards. So it'd be great to see some of you there. If you want to get tickets for that, tickets are very limited because the space isn't that huge, and obviously people are going to be lying on yoga mats. So we do have a limited space, limited number of tickets, but it would be amazing to see you there. It is Saturday 11th of July. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, And you'll see the link there to go to the Hello Love site to book your tickets. And also, don't forget the retreat at Inner Guidance. We do still have some spaces. It's the 31st of July to the 2nd of August. It is going to be so fantastic. I can't wait. I'm so wishing I'd made the retreat a little earlier, actually, because I've got a long wait now myself. But it really is great fun. We really do have fun, as well as getting down to some serious business with meditation and yoga and EFT, and again, mapping out what it is you really want. And we have a cacao ceremony, yoga nidra again. There's a gong bath, which is just awesome. If you haven't experienced sound healing, oh man, it's amazing. So again, it's at Inner Guidance. It's in Suffolk, 31st of July, and beautiful accommodation, amazing gourmet vegan food. It's near Lavenham in Suffolk. It's a gorgeous part of the world. If you want to come to that, again, do go to thesoberclub.com. Click on events and you'll see the icon there for the summer retreat. And we also have a wellness break at Champneys, but that's quite enough dates at one point to tell you about. Don't forget, if you are thinking of joining us in the Sober Club, we're just about to go into a special challenge for March around a kind of lifestyle thing, really, around ditching the chemicals. Obviously, with my other hat on, I do a lot around natural skincare and beauty and cleaning your home without chemicals. And I thought, well, why not share all of that? Because most of us, you know, again, as I've said before, once we ditch the booze, we start to care about everything. So we've got a really cool little challenge coming up with some very simple recipes and some simple suggestions. We'll look at where good nutrition fits in as well. I'm going to be interviewing Star Kashara, who is the queen of what she calls the facelift diet. I love it. Just looking at how good nutrition affects your skin. I mean, who doesn't want some of that, right? So that's all coming up in the Sober Club. And obviously, if you're interested, you are very welcome. It's for you if you've made the decision to quit the booze, or if you've been sober for a while, or if you've been sober for years. It's all about the what's next. We do have an online course as part of it, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which runs across 3 months. And a lot of people find that really useful to do, not just for ditching the booze, interestingly, but to go back and do it again for some other behaviour you want to change. Because one of the things that came up in our conversation at Live Well Now on the panel was, you know, once you've ditched the booze, we can look at, well, which things were just part of our sort of personality, stuff that we still do. So one of the panels says we still sleep with inappropriate people, even when we're not drinking too much. But often it is stuff like sugar. You know, we turn to the sugar, or we put off stuff, we procrastinate, whatever it might be. And there is an opportunity within the Sober Club to, bit by bit, look at all these different aspects of how you want to scale up. And I'm lucky enough to have really amazing experts come in and share their expertise. So it certainly isn't just me in there. It's also a very supportive community. And I think that's really, really important. I heard from someone in the week, I might have mentioned this before, maybe it was last week, someone who ditched the booze for 10 years, and then went back to it. Oh, I just can't imagine that. I really can't imagine that. So now she's in a different phase of, okay, right, now I really know I've made my decision. But this time I want everything to change in my life so that it underpins the generic health and well-being, you know, the holistic picture. And you can't go wrong with that, really. So look forward to seeing some of you at one of our events. Make sure you book those tickets. And of course, I'll see you same time next week. My top tip for you is just take some time out. I mean, honestly, everything feels so mad busy at the moment. And I just think if you can just, I mean, I was so lucky the other day. It took a bit of work, so I had to really map out the time. I had to change appointments, but I just took myself off just for a walk in nature on a weekday, which I wouldn't normally do. I know everyone doesn't have the luxury of doing that, but have a look at your week and just ask yourself, well, I wonder if there is just 20 minutes when I can do something that I don't normally do that kind of just lifts my spirits, I suppose. That's what it comes down to. I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Jamie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.